a traffic jam. Staring at the faces in a rearview mirror, looking at the promise of the promised land. One kid dreams of fame and fortune. One kid helps pay the rent. One could end up going to prison. One just might be president.
Truth warrior, woke destroyer.
Only in America.
Randy Tobler.
Dreaming in red, white, and blue.
On News Talk STL.
Well, good morning. Welcome to a busy St. Paddy's Day weekend edition of the Randy Tobler Show. We have Jerome McBayuk there, and I'm Randy McTobler. I don't know. We're going to have some corned beef and cabbage. A lot of people don't like the cabbage, but it's good for you. It's good for your immune system. I'm not sure if having it all soaked and drenched in salt is good for you, but it's good for you to try anyway. Hey, I'm glad you're with us. Lots going on. Of course, this week was a momentous week, culminating in yesterday's, I think, anticlimactic release of the judge's order in the Fannie Willis case down in Fulton County, Georgia. We'll be talking about that and other big hitting items and what it really means. You know, Alvin Bragg talking about maybe delaying the Stormy Daniels hush money case with Donald Trump, the immunity plea being denied by Judge Cannon down in Florida. So lots going on. We'll be talking about that with Zach Smith, our legal eagle from Heritage, at 7:05. We'll have talking about a couple of Illinois congressional district candidates, one who is an incumbent, the other who is challenging. Darren Bailey is challenging incumbent Mike Bost. So we'll be talking with them during this show. 7:25 will be Darren Baylor, Mike Bost at 8:25. And we'll be talking to them because I know a lot of you do listen from the Illinois area. But aside from that, I think given what's going on with TikTok, the bill that passed in the House now going to the Senate, raising a lot of questions about, on the one hand, freedom of speech. On the other hand, does freedom of speech, when it infringes on national security, have a limitation like other constitutional rights, including our guns? Even Antonin Scalia said, you know, there is a limit to that, at least when it came to the Second Amendment. How about the First Amendment? And do young people and others, predominantly young folks that are really wrapped up with TikTok, do they have the right to do that at the same time? You know, potentially, you know, having a national security threat, I get concerned about what it's doing to their minds. I think it's cyber psychological warfare, at least from some of the behaviors that I've witnessed as a result of it. But hey, maybe that's what our parents said about the internet and about asteroids and Pac-Man, you know, ruining your life. Let's see what Jerome has to say. Good morning, Jerome. Are you distracted from doing your gig on the show today with your TikTok involvement? If that's a problem, we can help you.
I absolutely refuse to ever use TikTok. Like, I've point blank told jobs that I've worked at I will not be using it. I think it's a national security risk, ignoring the spying that's been confirmed over the years, especially during the pandemic. There's a reason why they don't allow it in China, even though it's a Chinese-owned company. It is CCP, basically spyware, and it's a psyop. It's meant to get children to act recklessly. Kids are dying from it. People are acting fools on there. I can't wait to see it go personally, and I'm not one for censorship. I don't believe the slippery slope argument that next it's going to be Facebook and X and all that. No, this is an entirely different beast, and I can't wait to see it go.
I couldn't agree with you more. And it's been reported, I think, pretty reliably from several sources that, I mean, this was early on when the whole debate came up that the parent company has something like TikTok that they do in China, but it's actually used in the way that I think many parents and others these days would wish that social media, if it was going to be directed to children, would be used here in America, which is to basically teach values, virtues, you know, the things that make them strong citizens, to make for a strong country. And Chinese are doing that. They're directing their kids in, I guess you might say from their perspective, the right direction, the pro-Chinese direction. And from a technical education standpoint, I think they're using it as a tool for education as well. And, you know, on the other hand, you've got the argument, well, what about those people who are making a living on that? They're using that as their platform. That's part of their business model. Well, aren't there other options? I mean, couldn't they then pivot that and move it to Rumble or Facebook, where you can watch the show, by the way, or Twitter? I mean, I see a lot of business and commerce done on those platforms. So I don't know why the addiction to TikTok as a business platform couldn't be shifted.
Well, it's also intentionally designed to be addictive. There have been psychological studies that I've been reading up on where it is permanently, or not permanently, but it is altering one's ability to even focus on stuff. And like you said, if you look at, I think it's called Douyin, it shows you nationalistic, like pro-China content, educational experiments you can do at home. It's very much the exact opposite of what TikTok is. And then our TikTok, it has people doing Benadryl challenges and getting injured, you know, and I understand that you can use it for business commerce now, but what about Etsy? And like you said, what about YouTube, Rumble, any other social media sites? I know people that run their businesses off Facebook even. So I don't buy that argument. I think it's people that are just addicted to what I would call digital heroin. Basically, that's what all TikTok is.
Yeah.
And they don't want to let it go, but it is, I can't wait to see it go.
Well, you know, Jerome, it's interesting that at least from what I'm hearing from acquaintances, friends, and just what you read online, the proof's in the pudding. The vitriolic pushback with multiple people, not just one or two, but young people calling congressional offices. If this goes away, I'm going to kill myself. I mean, if that's not an addiction, that's proof in the pudding right there, right? Now, that's, you hate to generalize because there are people can self-regulate on that, but I can tell you whether it's a reel on Facebook or whether it's a, sometimes, you know, the TikTok, my kids are involved in it with it occasionally. They're not addicted to it, but occasionally I'll get a little, you know, the family thread. There'll be a TikTok thing and you can access it without being on TikTok, you know. But I think even then they're spying on you. I think once you're getting it without even having the app, they're spying on you. But anyway, I'll open it up and boy, it's easy. If it's, you know, Betty by time and the day's over and okay, I'll look through. You find yourself watching these things, and next thing you know, it's like 15 minutes are gone, and like, what was that all about? I watched all this meaningless nothing, and I could have been doing something useful. So, I mean, it's so easy to fall in that trap of addiction to non-productive work, and I can't help but think that that's part of the large Chinese agenda that we're reading about, tutor.com, that are being used in schools. You know, I mean, tutor.com, what is that? That's a Chinese method of infiltrating the schools. We've got the Confucius centers at the college level. And I mean, and now we've got this distraction. So when they get the kids' attention in a quote educational setting, it's being used for nefarious pro-Chinese means. And on the other hand, in an educational, in an entertainment setting, every keystroke, I understand that every keystroke, and once you're on TikTok and you've got that app on your phone, every keystroke is monitored, collected. And, you know, okay, so you may say, well, what's a 15-year-old, you know, in high school, what does that have to do with national security? Well, that person is going to end up going to college. They're going to be maybe being in research labs. Maybe they get to be employed somewhere. Those things are going to be accessible then indirectly. And I just, man, this is just a, I think this is just a Pandora's box that we need to close right now. I just think it's got to happen. But it's a real firestorm. I don't know whether the Senate's going to do anything with it, but it's bipartisan so far in the House.
Yeah, and I think that's the other thing people aren't considering is I don't think people understand exactly how technology laws in China works. You know, the CCP, every company is required at a moment's notice at the request of the CCP to give over 100% of their data. So if you look at how many cyber attacks we've had, even over the past 2 or 3 years now, it's not coming from the Russian trolls that rigged the election. It's not coming from, you know, Iran or anything like that. Most of the people that are doing cyber attacks and all these mass data harvesting things against us is China. And the other big issue, when because I hear a lot of people say, well, it's only a matter of time before they come after Twitter and they come after all or X or all these other websites. because ByteDance is owned by a Chinese company, we cannot enforce our U.S. laws against that company. They only have to abide by what the CCP says is okay because it's a Chinese company. So if the government really wanted to at this point, I mean, what would stop them from taking down Facebook a few years ago or X a few years ago? It's not in the best interest of the United States to take down these multi-billion dollar social media platforms because of the revenue it generates and because they are compliant with U.S. laws. ByteDance does not have to comply with U.S. laws. And I think that's the big thing. If you hear anybody saying, well, it's only a matter of time, it's a slippery slope. No, no. This is an entirely different beast. And I mean, we've even seen it in Northern Illinois, or in Illinois. There's a professor at SIU who a couple of years ago literally embezzled a bunch of money because it turned out he was a Chinese spy working at this college this entire time. Like, you know, my friend was going to school there at the time, and it was this huge, you know, Illinois news break that this guy had been a double agent this entire time. So that is what we're dealing with here. But that's my final thought on that.
Well, remember Swalwell, he was sleeping with a Chinese agent. Our friend Eric Swalwell out there in California, and then Dianne Feinstein, she had a driver who was a Chinese spy. And so, you know, there's no doubt these people have an aggressive agenda, the Chinese. And I think it's just poppycock and folly for politicians to ignore it. Well, they're not. And where it goes, who knows? Nobody knows. 314-912-1019, the numbers if you want to join in on the program, 314-912-1019 here on News Talk STL. And, of course, you can follow us and comment, as we get many comments throughout the show on either Rumble or Facebook. I guess YouTube's mad at us, so we wear it as a badge of courage, though. When someone on the station gets a third strike and we're out, it's like, hey, that's okay. That means we're doing something right when YouTube gets mad at you, when you've violated their so-called community standards. Whose community standards? Not my community standards. I don't know. All right, so that's number one. Number two, we see Peter Navarro now has filed an emergency appeal to Supreme Court late last night. He's supposed to report to prison next week. Remember when he was accosted at the airport? His lawyers had been working with the FBI to give the FBI whatever information they need, regarding some of his activities that led to his conviction. Two contempt of Congress counts for not complying with a subpoena. Wow. But Hunter Biden, of course, he can dodge and weave and finally show up. But no, there was no charges against him, right? Because Navarro, older guy, they had him in leg irons, handcuffs, and he wasn't trying to flee the country. It was a domestic flight. Pulled him off there and did that. We heard about that similarly. We heard about the reporter with the Blaze, who I don't know that he was a reporter at the time, but I think his name's Stephen Baker. And he was, same story. They're doing this over and over when they want to bring into custody the feds, when they want to bring into custody someone who has anything to do in the Trump orbit. And it really is irrelevant to me whether or not they ultimately are convicted, but they're treated in a different way. Men that were J6, 6, 7, 8, 9 armed FBI agents knock on the door, storm the place in front of the wife and children, take them away in handcuffs and leg irons. You know, there's something about the optics of it and making them do the perp walk that just smacks of KGB type of activity. It smacks of a government that doesn't respect the rights of its citizens, the rights to due process, the right to be treated with respect. You're innocent until you're proven guilty, unless you're a target of the DOJ weaponized by the Biden administration and previously the Obama administration. Anyway, it looks as though Peter Navarro, he's been arguing that the decision by the judge to not let him raise an executive privilege defense was wrong, and he is looking for an emergency appeal now, so he doesn't need to go to federal prison next week. It's a 4-month sentence. It's not forever, but we'll see what happens with that. I'm okay. Look, this is as much about equality and more about equality of treatment of people that are suspected of some kind of activity that's illegal, that's criminal. as it is about, it's much more about the process in, under which certain people, if you're not aligned with the present regime, the way they're treated as opposed to others. That's the problem. We can talk about the content of the indictments or of the suspected activity. That's a different story. I just don't like the optics of these people. This guy who works for the Blaze now, he was really on J6. There's video of him that Blaze has released it. Walking around, he had a baseball cap on and I think MAGA or something. I mean, he looked like a J6 guy. I mean, let's be honest. But he was taking videos. He wasn't really, he was, in, I think, a quasi-reporter mode. Well, they haven't recognized him as such. And when they took him into custody, I'll never forget the images. I watched him last week. It's just amazing. A couple of thugs from the FBI. And I use that word because of the way they treated the man. He peacefully walked out with them. And as he's getting into the car, they take his head and just slam it in, you know, in underneath the header of the car. Now, what's that all about? Why do you have to treat a fellow citizen like that? Just because you have a law enforcement thing? And he was not resisting, clearly not resisting. That kind of behavior absolutely frosts me, just frosts me. Well, we'll step aside and see what you think about it. 314-912-1019. Oh, and then we'll talk about some illegals. It's not just in Venezuela. It's here in our fair town. And now a Haitian parolee. Yes, a so-called parolee has it in trouble. Immigration talk when we come back on the Randy Tobler Show. And lots of legal talk coming up at 7:10. Don't want to miss that either. We'll be right back.
Randy Tobler, Truth Warrior, Woke Destroyer, on News Talk STL. Watch us on our live stream using Rumble, Facebook, and Twitter. This is News Talk STL.
Welcome back into the Tobler Show with Jerome. I am Randy. Glad you're here with us. How much of this can we tolerate? This wanton ignorance and disobedience to the constitutional authority by the Biden administration of maintaining our sovereign borders and protecting the people from absolute animals that are coming across. They're emptying Venezuelan prisons, and these people are coming across, these animals are coming in, whether it's Lake and Riley down in Fulton County, Georgia, whether it's this young man, this 12-year-old Travis Madison, who was mowed down in a head-on collision by a woman who was driving the wrong way, 70 miles an hour in a 40, here in the Hazelwood area, just last week or so. Well, actually, it happened earlier. The young man had so much, he was a teenager, he was a tween, 12-year-old. It's just unbelievable. It's horrific. The torment that family will endure for the rest of their life. And it didn't have to happen if we had strong borders. It didn't have to happen down in Fulton County, Georgia. It didn't have to happen in Massachusetts. Bill Malugin reporting that, according to Department of Homeland Security sources, to him and Griff Jenkins, that a Haitian, I don't know why we use the word man. They're animals. This is an animal. This is not a human being. I don't know what you would call this person, this entity, was arrested for raping a 15-year-old disabled girl at a migrant hotel in Massachusetts Wednesday night. Came to the U.S. via an abuse of the parole program, which is supposed to be an individual case-by-case parolee program, which directly flies people from outside the country into the country, not mass blanket application of this to Haiti and two or three other countries, which is what the Biden administration has done. His parole program for Haitians allowed this idiot to fly into JFK Airport directly from Haiti in June of last year with a two-year parole grant. 26-year-old, I don't know what to call this person. Unbelievable. And It's how much of this do we have to watch? How many, you know, young ladies and women in my life are telling me they're afraid to walk in a park these days. You don't know. I mean, this is no longer a border issue. It's Fulton County. It's St. Louis, Missouri. It's Chicago, New York, Massachusetts. Gene's on the line now. How you doing, Gene? Welcome and thank you for calling.
Hey,
what's on your mind?
Good morning, Randy.
What's happening, brother?
Hey, can you hear me okay? You dropped off.
Yeah, we got you.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Good.
No, we got you.
Hey, backing up a little bit in conversation, there's a point that with the FBI agents, and even if you bring this down to all the people fighting a good fight on the border with what they can do, that you kind of wonder why they don't say to their upper management, the hell with you. This isn't right. We're not doing this. This is the way they're going to go, and basically get the whole Border Patrol to go rogue. So that'd be another whole mess. But that thought goes through my mind. The TikTok thing is a fine line to walk. It's really, really a bad deal with all. I agree with what you guys are talking about. China is using that for espionage and all the other things that they do, and it's got to go. That there's a fine line between that and Patriot Act was kind of questionable at some time with that too. And what they did with Navarro was absolutely wrong. This whole thing, it's like the Nazi brown shirts and everything. I know I'm kind of shotgunning all over the place here this morning, but I think one of the attacks that people are going to have to do, running against the Democrats and everything, the Democrats, we know, go in lockstep with one another. But what they as a party are doing at this point is completely wrong. And anybody that's associated with that and condoning allowing the Biden administration to go along with this and not legitimately throwing that man out of office and doing things is just totally wrong, and they need put out of office for.
Well, you're right. No, you're so right. But here's the problem: we have a country now where, because of the abortion issue, we have a country where a plurality, if not a majority, of Americans thinks that it's actually okay, and it's okay to the point that they will die on a hill politically, elect another term of a Biden or whoever succeeds him either before the election or after the election administration, in expanding and celebrating the ability to wipe out a preborn human being. There, it's not that they're pro-abortion and, well, with an exception for rape or incest, you know, we're against it, but we understand. I think we can have those discussions. Civilized people can have those discussions. They celebrate it. They're out in the streets marching for it. They'll vote.
Oh, I agree.
They'll vote their own economic pocketbook down and the security of their kids, but with border control, which is out of control. As long as an administration, a regime, a party, an ideology celebrates abortion, we're in a very treacherous and perilous time in this country. Culture has gone absolutely south, and I guess this election will tell the tale. Have we passed the point of no return, to where the culture is on a downward spiral, a tailspin that will result in the absolute destruction of a society that has lost its moral scruples? That's where we're at, Gene.
Oh, I agree. And on the abortion thing, that's got to get fought too. But I think a tact that people could take running for federal office would be to try to put a mirror in front of these people's face, so to speak, and say, listen, it's a state thing. If you want to do that, you know, beef at your state, et cetera, et cetera. The
right.
Fed's out of the picture now. But yeah, I agree. This country is in an absolute horrible mess.
But I do think there's hope. I'm seeing more and more young people at least look at, and some of the outlets they look at, Joe Rogan, Bill Maher the other day entertained someone who was talking about their faith and about their religion. Joe Rogan, although it was a crude, a very coarse construct of faith, was talking about how maybe the country needs a little Jesus. He was talking about love and harmony and so forth. But those words are now coming into the platforms and the conduits that young people listen to. I'm hoping that there might be a bit of a revival. It's a long way away before it sweeps the country, but it might happen. Take a listen to this. Thanks for the call, Gene. Always great to talk with you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Hey, happy Easter.
Hey, same to you. Take a listen to this. This is Jonathan Turley yesterday in the wake of Judge McAfee's splitting the baby down there in Fanny Land, saying that Nathan Wade, who, by the way, has resigned. Nathan Wade has resigned as her special prosecutor. But he was very disappointed with Judge McAfee's decision that says that Fanny can stay on the case as long as Nathan isn't. Listen to this.
Many people believe that both of these prosecutors lied on the stand, that there were false statements submitted to courts. The key about that is Willis and Wade are prosecuting people in this case for that very conduct. And so it's hard to see how Willis continuing the case does not undermine it in the eyes of the public and hurts the case overall.
The reason that Donald Trump was elected in 2016 and has a very good chance of being elected this year is because of we the people watching time after time in setting after setting, whether it's economics and advantages for big fat cats who get tax breaks, who get loopholes in regulations, who are able to consolidate companies, then when you and I can't even get our little business started because the regulatory burden that they endorse is so great that only they can meet it, and they squelch out competition. And now in the legal scene, think about what happened yesterday. It is by any and all objective standards, anyone that looks at what happened during the trial, and I watched an awful lot of the testimony from Fanny and Nathan and Terrence Bradley, Nathan Wade's former law partner. Anyone who says that she didn't commit perjury on the stand is lying. She clearly committed perjury. She said And you may say, well, Randy, okay, so she said that this was about a relationship. What are you talking about? This is going back to Bill Clinton, and, you know, I did not have sex with that woman. Okay, you're splitting hair. No, look, if Jerome or you or me or anyone listening, unless, of course, they sit in the Congress or they're in a high elected office in Missouri, you know, anyone who's an important person. And it's nothing against people that are in elected office. But if you're an important person, if you're part of the regime, especially if you're part of the Democrat regime, you can lie on the stand. She lied. But if any of us were to be asked, did you make $300 through eBay or did you make $500? Well, I think I made, you know, yeah, I probably made $450. Well, we have receipts that you made $495. You lied. That's perjury. Put on the leg irons, put on the handcuffs, you're going to jail. And here you now have a prosecutor who lies on the stand, and the judge doesn't have the cojones to say, look, you can't be prosecuting Donald Trump and others on similar types of counts, perjury counts and others, when you yourself did it, you hypocrite. That judge didn't even have the backbone to call her out on that and say, because of that reason, you are expelled. He pulled a John Roberts. He pulled a Justice John Roberts when he basically said, well, there, you know, there's the ethics and there's the Bar Association and there's an investigative committee here and the attorney general there. He had the power. I don't want to hear any more about it. We watch this spectacle of the elite continuing to escape with things. But, you know, grandmas and grandpas who walk through the Capitol, you know, staring at the rotunda and the statues and police officers ushering them in. I'm sorry, I wouldn't have done it. I think I'd have been had a little more clear headed about that if I'd have been at the march. And I know people that were at the march. They did not go into the Capitol. But those people are being treated like Russian agents. And they're being held in captivity and in solitary for years before they get due process. But Fannie Willis, because she's in Fulton, Georgia, and she's a DA, she can lie and get away with it. This is what, well, you know, there's a film coming out called Civil War. This is what's going to lead to, if not a political at the ballot box civil war, I fear it may be worse. I don't want to see that. But unless the elite in this country and people wearing black robes in this country and attorney generals in this country realize that we're tired with winking with people in power and money who contribute to campaigns, and the small people who are the engine of this company, whether they're small business owners who inadvertently either can't or are unaware of complying with some obscure regulation, they get raked over the coals. It ruins their lives. It ruins their families. They can't afford to defend themselves. So if you're a judge out there, especially if you're an elected one, watch out for we the people. We're watching you. We're keeping our eye on you. And Judge McAfee, you should be embarrassed. You skirted your obligation. Oh, he called her out and said she was poor judgment. No, she lied. That's not poor judgment. That's a willful miscarriage of the truth. And we need to say enough. When we come back, Ron DeSantis means business with illegals. Let's talk about that. Because I don't know about you, I think we need to maybe go down there ourselves and put in a little time. Maybe every citizen, maybe when you get out of high school, that's what your public service is. You go down and defend the border. How's that sound? We got to come up with some ideas here. DeSantis knows how to deal with illegals. Maybe Governor Parson, whoever succeeds him, should be thinking of the same, and the legislature here in Missouri. We'll be back. Don't forget, Zach Smith on the Fannie Willis and other legal perils coming up at 7:10.
Randy Tobler, Truth Warrior, Woke Destroyer, on News Talk STL. Watch us on our live stream using Rumble, Facebook, and Twitter. Talk lines are open now at 314-912-1019.
This is going to be a deterrent for illegal immigration into the state of Florida. You come here, you're not getting a license. We're not recognizing your California license that you may have gotten in a sanctuary state.
Well, there you go. Ron DeSantis signing three bills yesterday. Boy, he's such a great governor. I wish he was a better candidate. That guy as president applying the same kind of principles and policy decisions that have been made under his leadership in Florida would lead an amazing, amazing epiphany and comeback for America, no doubt. Anyway, I digress. The highest profile bill, HB 1451, curbs so-called community identification cards. Broward County and others had issued community identification cards, which allowed them to basically identify people that were alternatives to a state-issued ID, which, of course, were not being given. And this basically said the state isn't going to recognize those anymore. In other issues and other initiatives he signed yesterday, it doubles the sentence of illegals who are convicted of either crimes against property, so-called low-level felonies. I've had my car stolen. I've had other things stolen. I don't consider that a low-level crime. I've had ATVs stolen out of a barn. Yeah, it's just an ATV. People say, well, yeah, if you ever had something stolen, it doesn't feel very low level when it happens. But anyway, in one of the bills doubles the maximum sentence for both crimes against property and crimes against people. Florida already doesn't recognize the licenses from driver's license from other states like California that gives licenses to border breakers. Now they're called newcomers, you know, by the administration, by the regime, the make American Democrat again. That's the new side. That's going to be that's the, you know, if you have a friend who believes in open borders and free immigration and all in bed with the progressives, give him a hat that says, you know, MADA, make America Democrat. All, that's what it is. Make all of America Democrat, because that's their goal. You get these people that come in from socialist countries. You give them all the perks of being a citizen. They break the law as their first act here in the country. And who do you think they're going to vote for? You've seen the interviews of the people that are coming up to and across the border. What do you think of Joe Biden? God, Joe Biden, Joe Biden, love Joe Biden, love Joe Biden. Well, of course you love Joe Biden. Who are you going to vote for? Joe Biden and his cronies. Man. Increasing the prison jail sentences for immigrants who are living in the United States illegal if they're convicted of driving without a license or committing felonies. Now, the lily-hearted liberals are saying, well, wait a minute, that's a catch-22. It makes them unsafe drivers, because if you don't get, you won't give it, you're not giving the illegals a license in Florida. And therefore, you're forcing them to drive without a license. There's the catch. You're not forcing them to drive anything. They chose to come illegally. And therefore, they're not going to get driver's education and not going to get tested in the pursuit of their license. And they're going to be a menace on the roads. Well, you know what? I got a solution for that. It's called a one-way ticket back to Venezuela. It's not complicated. You don't need to have a whole program of licensing for illegals. You just send them home. They don't belong here. And I don't know why we wait until they commit a crime. And you know what? I'm even willing to concede that these people, many of them, probably are productive. In many cases, they may work harder than you and I and our offspring, because they've had a tough life. They know what hard work is. Unlike Bernie Sanders, who called for a 32-hour work week this week. Can you believe that? 32 hours, because our people are burnt out, he said. Our people are burnt out. And with the AI coming in to increase productivity, we did. You know what that's going to be? He's going to mandate. He wants to mandate 32 hours. You know what it'll be? 32-hour work week, but with a 40-hour paycheck. Yeah, right. That's, how's that working out for you, Mr. Businessman? Anyway, these people may be good workers. That's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. Fannie Willis probably gave to her church, maybe even to the United Way. It's irrelevant. She perjured herself. And she needs to be made accountable. These people need to be accountable for their behavior. We shouldn't wait until they commit a crime and then double the sentence. But at least from a deterrent standpoint, he might be able to keep many of them out, because they just don't want to risk that. The word spreads quick in those communities. That's why those communities are coming up in caravans, in hordes. The word gets out very quickly when you have a permissive society, whether it's at the border federally or whether it's at the state level, you know. And so I just want to celebrate Ron DeSantis for again doing the right thing. And I feel so much remorse that his campaign didn't get more traction. It is a badly run campaign, and he just wasn't a very good candidate. I don't know what happened, but perhaps it was, he just, you know, he was riding the waves of really looking like a competitive primary back in early 23, before the first Alvin Bragg indictment with Donald Trump up there in New York City. Before that first indictment on the hush money thing, was it last May? DeSantis was looking good. But, you know, I think, again, we talked about the uneven treatment. Now, Donald Trump is certainly an elite guy. He's certainly a among the most wealthy. But I guess he doesn't actually fall into that category from the legal system standpoint. So I think he positions himself, you know, squarely as one of the people. Although, I don't know, Mar-a-Lago doesn't look like my living room. How about yours, Jerome? Doesn't look like mine.
Absolutely not. I wish.
But they say that Donald was, when during development of his various places, that he's sort of reminds me of old Gussie Bush. They say Gussie Bush used to be, well, I know people that worked under old man Bush back in the day that, and their fathers worked for him. He was down on the floor of Bush Brewery. He would walk down there on the brew floor, and he was working with the guys and talking with them because he loved the business. And I think they say the same of Trump. He has a way of resonating with we the people. That's good to see. Byron Donald, clip five. Byron Donald has a new ad out, and it's interesting. We won't play the whole thing, but it starts out basically with a Kamala Harris accusation, and you've heard it already about Donald Trump, that he's going to weaponize and have revenge on people through weaponizing of the DOJ. And I guess it's sort of one of those, wow, Kamala, you got room to talk? Listen.
He intends to weaponize the Department of Justice against his enemies.
What?
The FBI did target protesting parents using counter-terror tactics.
The FBI's Richmond field office promising to punish radical traditionalist Catholics.
Banks were told to search for customer data, including religious texts like the Bible.
Maine has now disqualified Trump from the ballot.
Colorado Supreme Court banning former President Donald Trump.
California following Colorado's lead.
Illinois judge has just ruled that Donald Trump should be kicked off the ballot.
Oh, we're going to definitely assume we're going to be a real pain in the ass.
There's never been a case like this in 75 years. Everything you just listed off is done by every real estate developer.
Charging Donald J. Trump.
Donald Trump.
Donald John Trump.
This is an image that will be in the history books.
Apparently. So it goes on and on and on. I mean, that's just a montage of how the Biden administration has weaponized the DOJ. The Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. They are searching. If you've bought goods, You buy something, and on your credit report or on your credit invoice, it says Bible or it says gun. Oh, they're looking at you. That's weaponizing. They're looking at you. It's got to stop. And we see it one after another. We've been talking about it all morning. And good for Byron Donald for calling out the hypocrisy. I think he's an up-and-coming star in the Republican Party. I like Byron Donald. Good man. I don't know if he's on the short list for Trump. I'm going to be watching that like a hawk. I'm really curious what where he's going to go with it, because his choice is very, very important for VP, because I think more than any election I can recall, the choice of VP in this cycle is important, because there's a changing of the guard. Assuming it is and remains Trump versus Biden, okay, we'll have basically a lame duck president that won't be able to accomplish much beyond the first 100 days or so. And I doubt that, given the way there's gridlock in Congress, which may not be a bad thing in a big sense. But then it's the next 8 years that I think are up. It's a toss up there. And that's where it's going to be very, very important. I don't care whether it's Kristi Noem or Katie Britt or Byron Donalds. It's got to be someone who has those virtues of limited government, legal immigration, and doing the right thing. It looks like we're running over time here. Let's go to, you want to go to break now, Jerome? Let's do that.
Let's give him a break.
Yeah. Okay. Let's give you a break. Go fill up your coffee cup. I'm going to do the same. We'll be back and talk about the weeds of Zach Smith's analysis of what's going on in Fulton County and elsewhere. Stay there.